KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's cloudy and 65 degrees. We look for partly cloudy to cloudy skies today. A chance of scattered showers, a high of 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. We picked up 5/100ths of an inch of rainfall over the past 24 hours, ending today at 7 a.m. In the news locally, rescue crews and law enforcement were called at around 5:15 this morning to a residence in Griswold for a report of a 30-year-old male who was suffering from a gunshot wound to the head. The victim was in a vehicle in front of the residence. The medical examiner's office was notified. KJAN is withholding the street and house number information at this time, pending further details from law enforcement and out of respect for the family. The Iowa Department of Public Health reports this morning as of 7 a.m., 500 Iowans have died from COVID-19, 12 more than what was reported Wednesday. Iowans tested for the virus, number 142,023, with 18,474 having tested positive. Tests that came back negative for COVID-19 amount to 123,128. A total of 10,137 people have recovered from the virus. Now, for Cass and our surrounding counties, here's the latest data on positive cases and those who have recovered. Cass County, no change from Wednesday, with 11 cases, two people having recovered. Adair County has 8 cases, 3 recovered. Adams County, 7 cases, 1 recovered. Audubon County has 12 cases, 8 recovered, and that's unchanged from Wednesday. Guthrie County has 45 positive cases with 29 recovered. Montgomery County, 6 cases with 5 recovered, and that is a change from, no change from Wednesday. Pottawatomie County, 228 cases of COVID-19 with 140 covered. And Shelby County had 34 cases with 25 recovered. And that is, again, unchanged from Wednesday. Now, across the state, the Regional Medical Classification Centers, or RMCCs, report 383 patients are hospitalized for COVID-19, 112 are in an ICU, 30 people were admitted to hospitals in the last 24 hours, 67 patients are on ventilators, and in RMCC Region 4, which includes Western and Southwest Iowa, 9 patients are hospitalized for COVID-19, one more than yesterday, 8 are in an ICU, that's up 5 from Wednesday, and 4 people were admitted over the past 24 hours, 3 people are on ventilators. The Atlantic Community School District held an electronic session Wednesday evening and heard about the Teacher Leadership Program, or TLC, as well as Technology Coordinator Roger Warren and Nishnanet's Scott Bennett with regard to options for student-faculty internet access and infrastructure in preparation for a mandated remote learning environment. That's in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Warren told the school board, regardless of what option the district chooses or even if a combination of options is offered, the service will not be a replacement for any current internet service that students or staff may have. It's intended to serve those who do not have direct access to the internet and who need to take lesson plans remotely, such as during the COVID-19 pandemic. In option one, the district will provide a 4G LTW network from the South Water Tower to supply cellular hotspots. Roger Warren went over some of the pros and cons of that option.
The pros is the content on the internet is provided by the school and monitored by existing firewalls. Essentially, you are in our network, just like you would school. If we have it set up and the hardware is there, we can deploy the hotspots rather quickly and then bring them back rather quickly, and we own the hardware. We can cover most of the city of Atlantic on our initial heat maps, but you've got those low spots and things like that, which is on the cons. We need an exact address to determine access and dependability of signal.
The option comes with an initial cost estimate of $45,000 to $50,000 for the first 100 hotspots, while 200 more is $40,000. Athletic Superintendent Steve Barber said option one would seem to be the best scenario, but as we do more research, it doesn't appear one size fits all with regard to complete connectivity to those in need. Option two is Mediacom's Connect to Compete service, which would cost $10 per month. The school gets to choose who gets it, and a VPN will be set up to route internet access through the school's firewall. Drawbacks include Mediacom has to come to your home and set up a modem, so deployment can take time. There are speed and data limits, and modem stays in the household. There's a need to have an exact address to determine access, and it requires a one-year commitment at a minimum $120, and the user must have access inside the city limits of Atlantic. A third option is Verizon hotspots. Warren said the advantages are easy deployment, fairly easy to gather equipment back in, good coverage for the area. The school owns the device moving forward. The signal can move with the student, and it's an option for rural students. The drawbacks of that plan include a required six-month contract, $30 per device and $40 per month with no data limits, for a total of $270 minimum. Another option is Nishnanet. The standard price for the service plus install is $55 per month, but Scott Bennett said the district would be charged a lower rate.
We have 14 towers between Lyman and and Ottoman that transmit to everybody's houses and whatnot, and we can segregate some of that off in a way that we can sliver it off so that the school can use part of it, you know, where the cost wouldn't be that high.
The other two options include satellite internet and school parking lot Wi-Fi access. Warren and Bennett will work together to send out surveys to students and staff to see where the need is the most, which will help to determine which option or hybrid of options might best suit the district's need to provide an alternate source of learning if the district is shut down in unforeseen circumstances. When those questions are answered, the district will need to determine which devices, such as laptops, will be needed, in addition to those currently being rotated throughout the grades, and how many will need to fill the demand. In our funeral announcements, Goldie Miller, age 92, of rural Menlo, died May 21st. A graveside funeral service for Goldie Miller will be today at 11 a.m. at the Morrisburg Cemetery north of Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Randy Jake Marchant, age 63, of Stewart, died Monday in Des Moines. A visitation for Randy Jake Marchant will be held on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora, with a celebration of life at a later date. David Popper Pop, age 63, of Atlantic, died May 21st. Funeral services for David Pop will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Alice Alexander, age 85, of Omaha, died Friday in Omaha. A massive Christian burial for Alice Alexander will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Mark Johnson, age 68, of Messina, died March 22nd at CCMH. Celebration of Life graveside service for Mark Johnson will be Saturday at 1 o'clock in the Messina Center Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home of Messina has arrangements. Wayne Newell, age 77, of Greenfield, died Tuesday. Graveside memorial services with full military honors for Wayne Newell will be Saturday at 1 o'clock in the Greenfield Cemetery. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Cheryl Lynn Carter, age 60, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died Monday in South Dakota. Graveside services for Cheryl Carter will be on June 1st at 2 o'clock at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Ernest Thompson, age 88, of rural Cumberland, died May the 3rd. Services for Ernest Thompson will be on June 24th at 10:30 a.m. at the First Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.